Welcome to Victory Christian Center. You're about to hear from our senior pastor, Pastor Stefan Schlugel, as he brings a message on Sunday service.
We are still speaking about faith, a series of messages that we have started some weeks ago now entitled Faith, the Key to Victorious Living. I'm going to do a quick summary on where we've been so far. And as I say, we've been a lot of places and spaces, all right? So we talked about that the fact that faith, or our God-given faith, is the quality that helps us to stand strong and secure in Jesus Christ. And that's very important in these last days. There's so many things going on. We need to stand strong and secure in Jesus Christ, strong and secure in our salvation. We said that faith is the master key that unlocks all the promises of God. And all the promises of God are yes and amen. It's faith that unlocks these things. And we said that it is by faith that we receive all that God has provided for us and everything that is promised to us. Our theme scripture was in 1 John, or is in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. And it says, therefore, everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. All right, so we said that only believers in Jesus Christ are able to overcome the world. The Bible says we're in the world, but we're no longer of it. All right. But people who do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God are not saved. They're in the world, they're of the world, and they're controlled by the world. So with that, I want to talk to you about this morning about how to get faith into our hearts. And I want to speak about some of the mechanics to do with that, even though we've already discussed that faith comes by hearing. I want to just go over some of the specifics. And for those of us that are faith people, we never get tired of hearing the same thing again, all right? There's just something exciting about it, to hear things again that we already know and to possibly fill any gaps. If there's any gaps there or if there's anything missing, it'll work against us. You know, if you were to ring me on my phone number, and my number has got 9 numbers, if you ring 8 digits and you get them all correct, but you miss out the 9th one, you're not going to reach me. All right. And so with faith, you know, we can do a number of things right, but if some major issues that are left out, then it's just not going to flow as well as what it could. So with that, I want to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 45. We have a medley of scriptures there, and I trust that in the end, by the time we get to the end of it, it all makes good sense. All right. Jesus speaking, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So Jesus is once again speaking about the heart of man, and we are talking not about the physical heart, the pump that pumps the creates circulation and so forth. We're talking about the spirit of man. We're talking about the eternal part of us. All right. And it says here that a good man has got good treasure or a good deposit in his heart, and an evil man has evil treasure or an evil deposit in his heart. And then Jesus finishes off by saying, he says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's kind of a principle there. It doesn't take us long when we get with each other for a couple of hours and we talk. We can soon find out what's in our heart, because that's what comes out. All right. And if it's not in the heart, it can't come out. All right. So whatever is in the heart in abundance, whether good or evil, it always comes out the mouth. And to change what comes out of our mouth, we must change what's deposited in our heart. Because quite obviously, whatever is in the heart comes out the mouth. So if I want different things to come out, it needs to change what goes into the heart. But then, in fact, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you need to listen carefully today. You might miss things otherwise. The psalm Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist speaks to God and he prays a prayer and he says, Lord, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word have I hidden in my heart. You see, the word is hidden in our heart if we have decided to put it there and made the effort to put it there. And the word hidden here speaks of hiding a treasure. It speaks of storing something up in a particular place, and that place is the heart, all right? And the psalmist had obviously esteemed God's word a treasure. And for you and I that call ourselves, you know, different things, we call ourselves word people, we treasure the word, all right? We treasure God's presence, and we treasure the word. It's not one or the other. But the word is very, very important. And the psalmist said, Lord, I've taken your word and I've put it into my heart. How does the word get into the heart? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 6 says, for the righteousness of faith speaks. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. When Pastor Vanessa and I first heard these truths, and that we heard it again, and it really excited us because we knew we was hearing truth, but it took us a while to put the pieces together. Not that it's complicated, but you just don't get everything about walking by faith in one message or in 1.5 tapes of, you know, Kenneth Hagin's teaching, where a lot of the stuff that we've learned, that's where a lot of it has come from. And we so wanted to make this work for ourselves. We so wanted to be people of faith. And so we listened and listened very intently. All right. Like when the preaching of the word goes on, we were always sort of front row people. And this is no reference to anybody that's sitting further back, but sometimes in other places, okay, not here, in other places, sitting down at back is like a circus, all right? There's just people floating around and up and down, and people are dawdling. Others are on Facebook, on their phone, you know, people just flipping around. We were front row people. And then when the preaching of the word goes on, we're never late, and we stay for the whole thing, okay? If I come in late into a meeting, I'm disoriented from the moment that I arrive. Because I'm trying to figure out what's going on, where they're going, what's the minister saying, where did he start? I want to hear the whole thing. And while the preaching of the word goes on, don't come and whisper to me. I have no time to listen to you. I need to hear the word, all right? Because we treasure the word. And when the word goes on, I need the whole word and nothing but the word, okay? Notice how verse 8, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. Verse 8 mentions your mouth, my mouth, before it mentions our heart. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart. And here's the deal, friends. To get a new word put into our heart, it needs to be in the mouth before it ends up in the heart. And that's where the confession of the word takes place. And one of the reasons why, when we're talking about faith, we've now spoken for a couple of weeks about, you know, the power of the spoken word. We talked about confession leads to possession. One of the reasons why we're focusing on that more than on the believing aspect, because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's really where things begin to happen, when we take the word and we put it into our mouth and then deposit it into our heart. And once it's in our heart, we speak it out of the mouth again. So there's a dual thing going on that many Christians don't fully understand. In summary, the one we call the confession unto faith, and the other one is called the confession of faith. When we're trying to put the word into our heart, it's confession unto faith. But once it's in the heart, it becomes the confession of faith. And things don't really begin to happen until it is the confession of faith, where we're speaking from a point of faith. All right? So we repeatedly confess God's word, to move it from our mind or from the head into the heart, which is our spirit. It's just interesting, this week the Lord just alerted me to a verse of scripture that I memorized some years ago now, Psalm 37, where it says, in fact, it's quite a lengthy psalm. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And that just came up in my spirit. And I thought, okay, where is that again? So I go and have a look and find Psalm 37. Then I read the whole thing. The whole thing's fantastic. You know, it's just a fantastic scripture. So I'm now meditating in Psalm 37 right now and speaking about that. And of course, immediately I sort of felt like, oh, Lord, have I not been delighting myself in you? So I quickly say, Lord, I delight myself in you. Lord, I delight in your presence. Lord, I delight in your word. I'm one that delights in you. And I very quickly, because you see, with the mouth, confession is made. And of course, it's communicating with God and letting him know that that I'm one that delights in him. So, and of course, many of you will be able to testify to the same thing. We repeatedly confess God's word to move it from our mind into our heart. You and I, in life, we cannot rise above the level of our confession. And again, that's a statement that we heard some years ago. And we've believed it and we've seen it in life. We've seen it in our own lives. Because you see, whatever we say consistently out of our mouth will create a ceiling in life. All right? People trying to rise up. You know, people are trying to go up. You know, there's the saying, going up in the world or advancing or progressing. But some people can't go up. They can't progress in life because they've created a ceiling with the words of their own mouth. So some people's ceiling is very low, and it's because of words that they've spoken. But other people's ceiling is very high, all right, because of words that they have spoken. You get amongst or around successful people, whatever successful means. There is a language there that is conducive of them moving up and moving on and progressing because they are can-do people. All right, and if they can't do it, they will work it out and they will figure it out and they say they can do it. You see, if we keep on saying, I can't do it, guess what? We're right, it means we can't do it. But if we say we can do it, we're also right, because we can do it if we keep on saying that we can do it. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that I can say, I can fly an aeroplane, you know, put me into a 747 Boeing and I can fly this thing. Well, of course I can't. All right, and that's not what I'm trying to achieve, but I want to be a can-do person. All right, I want to be a can-do person. It's all about the words that we speak or the words that we have spoken. Our life today is in many respects the evidence or the sum total of words we have spoken. And sometimes it's phrases that you hear again and again. Sometimes people that are given to whining. You see, you can't whine and walk by faith at the same time. You just can't do it. Some people like the whine in their own voice. They like to hear the sound of it. But you see, if you want to walk by faith, you got to leave whining behind. You just, you see, because whining is words, all right? And that will create a certain ceiling and will create a certain time warp that will keep you looped up in this thing and you can't move forward. So anyway, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. Praise God. Our words will work for us or against us. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Very powerful. Psalm 78, verse 41, it says, yes, again and again, they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. And I'm amazed by that, because God is unlimited. God is almighty. God can do all things. But God can be limited in your life and in mine with the words of the mouth that we speak. And they were speaking words. When God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, they were speaking words. And they were speaking words again, and they were speaking words again. And in the end, it was those words that kept them out of the promised land. God got them out of Egypt, but they didn't move through into the promised land. And it's all about words that they have spoken. It goes on to say in verse 19 here of Psalm 78, yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? It's like questioning God's ability, questioning God's power. Can God prepare a table out here in the wilderness? Behold, it says, he struck the rock so that water gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and he was furious. Okay. It's amazing how whatever they needed in the wilderness, and we're talking wilderness now, we're talking desert, we're talking about, you know, God provided manna from heaven, then they asked for meat, God gave them meat, he rained in quails, they were walking in quails knee deep just about, it was just God, then they needed water, and God says to Moses, you know, they came to a poisoned body of water, and they couldn't drink it. They started murmuring and complaining. In fact, it was murmuring was one of the five sins, tells us in the New Testament, one of the five sins that kept them out of the promised land. And so God says to Moses, Moses, take a tree, a specific tree, and cast it into the water, and it will make that poisoned water sweet, and then you can drink it. And I remember hearing Yonggi Cho preaching many, many years ago, and he said that many people, actually everybody unsaved, has got a poisoned well in their heart. There is just doubt and unbelief, and there's sin in there. But that tree, he says, is reference to the cross upon which Jesus died. And when you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, he will make everything that's bitter, he will make it sweet, and you become a sweet person. All right? So praise God for that. Never forgotten that. It's just like, wow, this is absolutely awesome. So they're speaking against God. They are saying, God, you brought us out here. Or Moses, you brought us out here to die in the wilderness. We had rather died in Egypt. You know, in Egypt we had water. In Egypt we had meat. In Egypt we remember the food we ate, the leeks and the garlic and all of that. And they list all the things that they used to enjoy. Now you're bringing us out here into the wilderness to die. And so they were using the death word. You know, our little ones are going to die out here. And they use death words over and over and over. And guess what? Guess what? Well, God heard it. See, God hears our confession. And in this instance here, the Lord was furious. Okay. God got angry. I just always enjoy when I read, you know, these parts in the Old Testament. And here is God and Moses talking. And one minute, Moses gets angry and he dumps it all on God. And then at other times, God says to Moses, Moses, step aside. I'm going to wipe them all out. And then Moses jumps in and he starts interceding for the nation. I sort of just like the relationship between those, just very personable and very personal. The Lord was furious when he heard this. Numbers 14, verse 26. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and saying, I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel made against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so will I do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to the entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore to make you, you will dwell in it. God had spoken it, and God had fully planned to take them in. but they limited God with the words that they spoke, with the murmuring, with them looking back rather than looking forward. I'm always reminded when Jesus said, no one who has put his hands to the plow, like, you know, using a kind of an allegory here, when we get saved and we move forward, he says, no one putting his hands to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. A plowman doesn't look back, he always looks forward. All right, people talk about the good old days before they got saved, but they weren't good old days. The good days are now while we are saved, all right? Our future is good. God says, I know the plans that I have for you. They're plans for good and not for evil, to give you hope and to give you a future. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's the words that they spoke. It's the words that create ceiling in our lives. I'd encourage you to raise your ceiling by changing the confession and no longer saying certain things and adopting new language. Let me talk to you about meditation in God's Word, because that's really, we're talking about putting faith into our hearts or putting the Word of God into our hearts. It's the mechanics of that we have, you know, many years ago endeavored to learn and endeavored to practice. And sometimes I feel there's not sufficient emphasis on scripture memory these days, memory verses. We used to memorize scriptures and lots of it, verses and sometimes whole chapters. And people say, well, you're a minister, you're supposed to memorize scripture. Most of my scripture memory I'd done before we came into the ministry. It was in the early days of our Christianity, okay, when scripture memorization was still a thing. But let me talk to you about meditation. Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So in other words, we not only delight in God and in his presence, but we delight in his word. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Now, of course, that's Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament back then. You know, I'd encourage people to memorize New Testament more than Old Testament, though, you know, there's some fantastic Old Testament scriptures. One of which, you know, Psalm 91, which I've committed to memory some decades ago. And it's just easy to pull it up And I usually like to confess and say that Psalm 91 is fully operational in my life. It's my insurance policy, all right? And it has so many wonderful promises there. But anyway, he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You know, sometimes Christians just dry up. You know, they wilt and they dry up. But this tells us here that there is a way to not dry up, but to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. His leaves shall not wilt or shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. We've said this before, but we feel that the Bible, the Word of God, is the best success literature that you can find anywhere in the world. You know, people talk about success literature and different things. There are some good things you can learn from them, you know, don't get me wrong. But the Bible is the uppermost success literature there is in the whole wide world. You see, meditation in God's Word moves the Word from the mind to the heart. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the Word into our heart. The Word's got to be in the heart. With the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We need the Word in the heart. Many people got fear in their heart, but God wants faith in our hearts. in the last couple of years with what's gone on, that fearfulness that's been promoted, that people have heard it, and faith comes by hearing. You see, people got fear in their heart because they heard the narrative, the official narrative that was pumped about this and about that and about the other. And just as well that I didn't listen a lot to it, because most of it just plain annoys me. A lot of lies and a lot of deception. I said, no, I don't want that to enter into my heart. I want faith in my heart. We're not afraid. We're not people of fear. We're people of faith. We're faith people. All right? People of faith. And faith people are not afraid. So there is a progression from memorizing scriptures to depositing it into our heart. And the difference is subtle, but let me just work through. This is very basic. This is like 101. When we're talking about getting the word into our heart, memorizing scripture, when we talk about, you know, being able to recite a text from memory, they say, oh, I'm doing it off by heart rather than having to read it. But I would suggest that once we've memorized scripture, it's not necessarily in the heart. It could still just be memorized in the mind. And that's a good starting point, but it's not enough. All right. Some of you are like, see the progression. When I open the Bible, the word moves from the pages of the book to the eye of the reader. And then if that person understands what needs to happen, they will repeatedly confess it. It moves from the eye of the reader to the mouth of the one who repeatedly confesses it, and it lodges in the memory of the person who repeatedly confesses it. How do we learn things off by heart, whether that's a poem or something or a song? The song, we sing it again and again and again, and then we've memorized it because we kept on singing it or we kept on speaking it. That's how you memorize, okay? But once it's in the memory of the reader who has spoken it often enough, from there it wants to move into the heart. And the way to do that is to meditate in the scriptures over and over until it sinks from the mind into the heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. We've been there last week. I want to come back again because there's some principles in here that are very important for us to be reminded of or to fully understand. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart one believes, not with the memory, but with the heart. So once the heart believes the word, we've moved from the confession unto faith to the confession of faith. And memorization of God's word is good and necessary, but it's not sufficient. There is another step. And that step is called meditation, which is more of the same. Meditation, when I meditate in the scriptures, the word meditation, sometimes people get a bit tripped up because they're thinking like meditation, like Eastern sort of religion type deal or New Agey, where you just, you know, repeat a mantra or word that you don't understand over and over. That's not biblical meditation. Biblical meditation is to take the word and to say it, to mutter it, to repeat it, to think about it, to imagine it over and over and over until it suddenly sinks into your heart. It is meditation that drives the Word of God into our heart. And that's why I kind of sense that when, you know, it's like the Lord brought up that scripture in, you know, from wherever it was, memory on the heart, you know, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I felt that God prompted me to just meditate in that a bit more, because sometimes we can go hard to pursue, to get the desires of our heart, but God wants to give them to us. Okay. As we delight in Him, that still means, you know, we still have to go and work. We still, you know, earn a living and everything else. But when sometimes people earn a living, they go so hard because they've got a desire that they've set for themselves. And now they're too busy to come to church. They're too busy to serve God. They're too busy and everything. The focus is all wrong, you see. God wants us to do all these other things, but to make sure that we put Him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All right? So putting God first, meditating in the scriptures. For me personally, I like to go to sleep on a scripture. And when I wake up, I want to very quickly grab a scripture. And I will do that then out of the memory, out of the heart, wherever it is, and have that as my sort of theme throughout the day. And obviously we deal with things, we talk with people, we can't sort of constantly meditate, but when there is a moment of downtime, I want to meditate in the scriptures, because my heart needs to be filled with the Word of God. I want to walk by faith. And of course, this is one necessary thing to do. Very shortly, we're going to wind down, but let me bring you a couple of scriptures that kind of bear out what we are saying, or more of the same. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua became or was the successor to Moses. Moses led the people out of Egypt, and then, you know, through the wilderness, was with them for, you know, some decades, and then Joshua was the one that was tasked to take them on into the promised land and to divide up the land. In the end, as we heard earlier on, that all the people that came out of Egypt that were 20 years and older, they all died in the wilderness except Joshua and Caleb because of words that they'd spoken. And because God spoke of Caleb, He says, that man has got a different spirit in him. But all the other 10 spies that brought back an evil report, they complained, they discouraged the hearts of the people, and so forth. They all died immediately, and then that whole generation of 20 years upwards died in the wilderness, one after the other. And the amazing thing is that God says, I will do to you as you have spoken in my hearing. But you little ones, He says, whom you have said will die in the wilderness, I'm going to take them on into the promised land. And so there's an amazing thing there, that there's a principle revealed. People say, oh, that's Old Testament. We're now in the New Testament. And that's absolutely right. But we can still limit God in the New Testament with the words of our mouth. All right. So let me read Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. God's speaking to Joshua now. He's now the leader. He's a young leader. He's been with Moses for many years, and decades actually served Moses and was well-versed with leadership, but now it's a new level. Now you're at Joshua. God says to Joshua, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Now here we got the mouth again, haven't we? The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Don't let it out of your mouth. Just keep the book of the law in your mouth. Keep on speaking it. But you shall meditate in it day and night. How do you meditate in the book of the law, or for us in the New Testament? Well, keep on speaking it. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. Keep on speaking it. Because whatever is in your mouth, a lot will end up in your heart. And then once it's in the heart, that what ends up filling our mouth. So that's why I'm saying there's a dual thing going on. And I want to describe the difference between those two. There's certain scriptures that are in my heart, and I feel when I speak them, and when I declare them in prayer or in a declaration of faith, I believe that that's what that is. But there's other scriptures that I've yet to get into my heart. All right, I don't have the whole book in my heart. I've only got parts, a few verses, a few truths, a few chapters that I've put into my heart, and I want more in there. All right, and I'd encourage you to put more word into your heart. It's interesting how people follow fads, read the latest Christian book, and I'm not against reading book. People are blown about by every wind of doctrine, and have you heard about this, and have you read that book? People say to me, have you read that book? I says, no, I haven't. Oh, you need to read that book. I said, yeah, okay. But here's one thing that I found, as I say, I've got a relative. I have a relative, and I'm not saying it's a she or a he, and I'm not telling you what my relationship is then, because they could be watching. But that relative is a believer, and praise God for that. Oh, have you read this book? I says, no, I haven't. Oh, you should read it. I say, okay. Here's what I found. By the time I do all my work that I need to do, and I do all my reading of the word in my praying, there's not much time for reading books for me, honestly. All right. Of course, people are retired. They got time to do various things. But other than that, I just like to stick with the word. All right. Because it's the word that's life-giving. Good books, and we've read books. Don't get me wrong. We've read books. We read a lot of books and read a lot of books about faith, how to make faith work and so forth. I'm all for it. But the latest and the greatest, I don't need to just jump into every book. And there's a lot of fads around today. There's a lot of nonsense around. There is so much nonsense around today. That whole woke thing, it's just crazy. It's just, that's for silly people, honestly. You know, cancel culture, that's people who promote that thing are the stupid people. And people who listen to that are the silly people. Let's stick with the word. Like, I cannot even begin to tell you the disaster in, like, we're talking whole church movements have gone woke. Jumped on board with that whole gender identity rubbish and the cancel culture and all of that nonsense. It's like there's all of these things that are around now. I've just decided I'm just going to stay with the word. I'll just stay with the word. It's interesting. I was sharing with our local ministers there a while back around those areas. I said, guys, just stay with the word. Okay, stay with the word. There's the seven letters to the seven churches that Jesus wrote or dictated to John in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3. And the church of Philadelphia received the most commendation from the Lord. He says, you have kept my word. You have kept my word. Well, that lets us know that others have not kept the word. They've moved with trendy things, you know, off into somewhere else. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Here, success literature, the book, the word of God, all right? So God's word is the ultimate success literature. Do not let it depart from your mouth. Meditate in it day and night. Do what it says. We don't need to chase the latest prophecy. I'm all for prophecy. I'm all for it, but I have some issues there. There's been so much prophesied even in the last couple of years. It's like I just got tired of a lot of it. It turned out that a lot of the ones that have prophesied are not prophets. They're pretending to be prophets. And I'm talking not stuff so much in our own nation, but, you know, parts of it, but a lot of stuff that's coming from other places. There's all of these people that are trying to grab, you know, clickbait. They got a great headline, you know, like, come on my website and click here and or follow my channel and everything. I got a great prophecy. I got a great word. And said, well, you know, the Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy, and that's the written word of God. I'm all for prophecy if it's of the Lord and if it's current, if it's relevant, but I'm not chasing a prophecy. I'm not running around finding somebody to prophesy over me, because God's prophesied over me in his word, and that's what I want to stick with. And if God decides that I need another word of prophecy from somebody, God will send somebody. But in the meantime, I'm not looking for it, because I have a more sure word of prophecy. There's a lot of Christians that are just running to and fro, Just what's God saying? You know, what God, latest prophecy? We have a more sure word of prophecy. I'm just trying to encourage you, stick with the word. It'll become more and more difficult in these days. And the predominant sign of end times is deception. When Jesus was queried about, you know, what the signs will be before he returns in Matthew chapter 24, the very first thing that came out of his mouth said, he says, make sure that you're not deceived. Because with all of that deceptive stuff that's around today, the last 2 years been nothing but deception. All these mandates, it's nothing but deception, just lies. It's unbelievable. A lot of Christians have fallen for it, which is even more unbelievable. Stick with the word. Let God give you discernment so you know what to run with and what to leave behind. So meditate in it day and night. Do what it says, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. That was one of the four pillars of faith that we discussed, a couple of three messages ago. Do what the word says. Be a doer of the word. Act upon what the word says. And lastly, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. So we got the words and we got the sayings. It's all the word of God. Do not let them depart from your eyes. So keep looking at it. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And here's what I found over the years, that sometimes I've got a word, a verse, a truth that I have read, I've confessed, I've memorized, and I put it into my heart. And then suddenly it's no longer in the center of my heart. It's been pushed off to the side. And something else has taken its place. So it says, keep it in the midst of your heart. For the word to work, it must have prime real estate in our heart. Okay? He says, for they are life to those who find them. Not all people find them, but the word is life to those who find it, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. This is like, wow. This is like amazing. I don't know about you, that really excites me, because it instructs me what to do, and it tells me to stick with the word. Do not follow fads. Do not chase the latest prophecy. Read the latest novel. Be sure to stick with the word. Meditate in the scriptures. Stay with it. When the gainsayers come, they tell you that God's doing something new, you know, as I say, with all of that woke business, cancel culture, all of that other nonsense that's going on, stick with what the word is.
Thanks for watching Victory Christian Center. For more content, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, or you can subscribe to our podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, or Google Podcasts. Check out our website at victory.net.nz. We'll see you again soon.